Hey, it's me. It's Bob Saget here for you. And before we begin with a real cool, wonderful, cool, that sounds so oddly dad-like to say that. She's so wonderful. I've known her a long time. She's just such a great actress, such a great person. Before I tell you who that is, Regina Hall, I have to tell you to do what you got to do with a podcast like this. You subscribe, you follow, you rate, review it, you call the number up top, and I'll be calling people, and I'll be announcing it on, Instagram stories and Twitter when I'm going to call you guys. But in the meantime, I love to have people on that I just look up to and think the world of, and she's just a love. So you're about to be part of my conversation with the beautiful and, more importantly, just brilliant and wonderful Regina Hall. We've known each other off and on for a long time, actually.
As a matter of fact, I would probably say it's been almost 20 years.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because...
But how can that be? You're 25.
I think I was about 4 and a half when we met, because...
Don't say that. You can't say that these days.
You were older. You were 10. And that was like...
Thank you. You were 10. And I didn't do anything at 10 years old that could be considered wrong.
You hit me. But like kindly. I remember I was like, that was nice.
Maybe I was flirting. That's what 10-year-old boys do.
I think.
So how are you holding up? How's it going?
It's funny because I've been talking about this. You know, there's, I think probably the hardest part is I can't see my mommy as much.
Where is your mom right now?
She's in Georgia.
Is she safe and is her health better?
Her health is better. We went to see Dr. Wigley.
For people that don't know, years ago I lost a sister to a disease called scleroderma, and Regina's mother. How long has she had it? How long did they diagnose her?
Well, it's been about 20 years. The reason I know that is because you were the one who led me to her doctor. I remember. Oh gosh, what's her name? And I love her.
Laura Hummers?
No.
Dana Delaney.
Dana Delaney.
Yeah.
Dana Nicholson had just met Dana Delaney. Dana Delaney told me about you. And then I called you and you were like just beyond kind, wonderful, which led me to Dr. Wigley. And he has been caring for her. And she's great.
Isn't that there's nothing that could make me happier, you know?
Such a kind, patient doctor, like old school. You know what I mean? Like he really cares about his patients. You know, if I have a problem, I'm like, Dr. Wigley, do you think it's her scleroderma? Do you think it's separate? You know what I mean? Especially during COVID. I've emailed him more weekends than ever. And him and his assistant, Regina, his name is Regina. They just, you know, I mean, speaking of compassion, like all the effort.
He would go on a vacation with his wife and he would give all of his patients, which is thousands, his cell number. Yeah. And that's, you know, and they're groundbreaking. We fund our Scleroderma Research Foundation funds Johns Hopkins and mainly and also UCSF and Stanford and a lot of places. And they're making headway. And your mom, fortunately, we connected at a time where they could get it before she would continually get what my sister got, which was misdiagnosed and given the wrong medication. They just guinea pigged her, you know?
Yeah. And it's so interesting that how long ago was it that your sister actually passed?
She passed in 94. And then 2 years later, in 96, I made a TV movie about it because that's how long showbiz people suffer. They want to do a movie right away. I wanted to get the word out because what happened to her. And you saw the movie, Regina?
randomly watched that movie with no thought of my mom. She wasn't diagnosed then at all. I watched it. I was like, oh, this is good. And I also was, I found that it was a true story, but I was also compelled watching the movie to be like, what's wrong? You know what I mean? That's the thing. And then of course, at the time, it was just a good movie to me. Like at the time, it was like, that was good. That was, or sad, I should say, but it was a moving film. But when my mom was diagnosed with it, everything's different when you're able to have a bit more practical application of what it really means.
Oh, it's a bad one. All diseases we're living through, we're living through the insane of days. But Dana Delany did a beautiful job and went through 4 hours of prosthetic makeup in the worst case scenario of that disease. And she's a sweetheart. I'm so glad she connected us. It was, we were on an airplane when that happened, I think, when you spoke to me.
Yes. Yes, it was. That was the first time I was like, oh, it's Bob's. I mean, having been a fan of your work, and then, when you get to be a fan of someone's person, and then you get to be like, moved by their journey. And then you get to see them as like, then they reveal like what's going on in their life. And then you're like, oh, then you see them as a human being. It's, you know what I mean? It all kind of,
oh yeah,
all adds.
Well, it's funny when you care, when you have a connection, like I feel like we've had a connection. Yeah. If we were hanging out, we would probably, hang out more and all that nice stuff, or work together or something one day. If I can stay looking young, and you were on Grandfathered, of course, with Stamos. So.
And we did Law and Order. Do you remember when I was in Law and Order and we did Law and Order?
Oh my God, I forgot that.
You played like you were like a, what, you had some real seedy, like what were you?
Was it in New York or L.A.?
It was L.A. It was Law and Order L.A.
I was kind of a combination of the producer Bob Evans and a little bit like I was a porn murderer. I was the head of a porn organization.
Help business. Okay. Yeah.
It was terrible what I did.
No, you were great. The show wasn't, but you were.
The show had some, and they had the best team at the top. They had Terrence Howard and Alfred Molina. Yeah. And so when they called, I said yes. And the whole cast was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was just it could be on 10 years right now. There's just some things that I guess didn't work out.
Hard for LA, Law and Order.
It's really hard for LA right now.
Yes. No pun intended, but it was hard to do it when it was in New York. It was gritty. And then our show, I think it was just a hard to translate the stuff here. But listen, I had fun, great people. And then I got you again. Maybe that's why the show came about. It was really to put us like, it was really for our moment. All the other stuff is just like,
I do think that sometimes. Because you feel that way.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's not even about the job. It's the people. It's just the connections through life. I mean, obviously work is work and it has its own intrinsic value. But for the people that connect, that's the other level.
That's what's so, I don't want to say it's a good thing that's coming out of this time, which is rebooting everything, literally everything. I mean, it's rebooting. Are we going to be alive? Some people don't think this even exists, this virus. It's rebooting all of Black history forever, all persecution forever. In 1 year, I think it's 10 years, 20 years of work that's getting done in 1 year.
Yeah.
Whether people like it or not, that's what's happening.
It's what's happening. It's so interesting. I think somebody did in the from an astrological point of view, the planets hadn't been aligned like this, like since there were three things, like the fall of the Roman Empire, the American Revolution. Like, I mean, really, you know, you could say tumultuous, but you could also say like course redirecting events. Like, it's like life will have to be different in order for us to continue. Like, we have to have different perspectives. But I will say the combination was also incredibly important, because if we didn't have the stillness that the virus that has had to put us in, where we weren't so busy out there, then it's harder for us to digest. And when I say digest, like, I don't mean just take, I mean, but really digest a lot of things that need really deep attention. And I hope that continues too into the planet. And I hope that how we look at climate change is also, hope that's included in.
There have to be some major regime changes, because it all trickles from the top. And it could, by the way, I even had hopes, or as fools say from Hallmark, thoughts and prayers, you know, but that someone could just not politically get through to the powers that be right now and go, hey, this is real. But instead, it's all about business and all about ego and all about narcissism and, you know, and people don't. I want humanity to evolve. We all do. And then we feel what we feel. And we'll know. People go, well, in November, we'll know and everything will be different. But, it, you know, all of this with when Obama was president, if we'd have had 4 months indoors, forced indoors, and all the problems looking in our face like they are, and unjustful murders, and all the things that we've all watched history change as we're talking right now, it would have been handled better. I would have felt like I had a cheerleader talking to me, someone trying to make me feel better. That's what you look for in your leader, not someone to, from the moment Mr. Trump took over. And I don't usually go political on here, but I can't help it all the time. It just comes up, because you can't breed negativity. You can't start it as a pit bull.
Yeah. Well, no, when you're leading a nation, you're ultimately leading the people, right? So you have to at least start with a sense of compassion. So if you can't look, let me look at the health of my, you know, my people. If you can't say, let me look at the financial situation, and you can't sit and, like, there's nothing that can be resolved in blame. I mean, that's like healing counseling 101. If I sit and I blame you, as opposed to saying, what, let's talk about what's working, what's not working, and let's talk about what we could each do better. So when you're looking at places, and it's the virus and it affects all states, and you see those numbers go up, politics don't even matter. I mean, if it were that simple, and a red state and a blue state had the same thing, well, shit, turn it into a red state if it's going to keep the virus away. But since it's colorblind on all levels, you have to address it as such so that you can keep everyone safe. You have to address how that affects people economically. You have to address what those racial disparities are. And then you have to say, well, gosh, you know, you build a car and you're like, what could make it faster? You have to look and say, what could make us as a United States
right
better? And if we've been here, and I happen to be in charge now, what's our here? I mean, life is evolution. We all grow. That's what it is. We evolve or we grow, whatever word you want to use. And when your thought process only seeks to have us regress, and at the very least, not even examine where our present could be better, then we don't have a chance. And I think,
and we have to have one. And that's what I love about you, is you're a positive person. So we have to be positive, because there's so much negative, and there's so many people that are literally breeding and feeding on hate.
Yeah. No, we have to. And, you know, listen, the reason I know it's not party, my whole life I've had either a Republican or a Democratic president. I certainly have. I may have had who I wanted to win, but I've never felt, oh my gosh, it's going to be detrimental or terrible. I didn't feel like that about Kane or Romney. I mean, even when I voted for Obama, even when Bush won the second time, and I wasn't like a giant Bush fan, but I was like, oh, well, it wasn't, I didn't, my soul didn't feel frightened. Even if it wasn't excited, it wasn't frightened. It didn't make a difference. I could discuss politics with my friends on either side. It wasn't divided. It was like, oh, okay, that's who won. And I had friends who are Republican, and, you know, maybe if they didn't want Obama, but it didn't feel like catastrophic. It just felt like, you know, like, oh.
It's no one even across the aisle politically wants to even talk to the other side. Everybody is predisposed. And they go to the news outlets that feed what they want to believe. I try to watch all of it, and then I try to watch none of it.
Yeah, no, it's very good because you know what? It gives you insight into what one group might be saying, that you can have an understanding of why they may behave or respond in the way they do. And you get to see, oh, this is what they're seeing as opposed to what I watch. And I understand why we're so far apart, you know, and it gives you at least a sense of balance to say, well, you know what, why don't you go and watch this so that you can suggest that they have really more information. And I don't want to use the word accurate, but
yeah,
more accurate information.
Well, I have to do something, which is take a break. And when I come back, I want to talk about how your career is like taking off even through a pandemic. It's it's so fun to watch everything that you do because you're so crazy talented. But it's like, why a pandemic now? Regina's career is on fire. So we'll be back in 2 seconds. All right, we're back. This is why, like, I've just been wanting to make people feel better with this podcast. And that's what I guess my job is.
Is there a more important job right now? I mean,
No.
Making people feel better in the hospital or when they eat. I mean, there is no more important job.
And look at all the people, and I get to talk to people on here besides people like yourself that are well known and that are celebrated and loved. I don't like talking to people that aren't loved. well, a couple because they're interesting, but I'm just so fragmented on where comedy, which we know is a healing thing, and you, of course. Would you say, I'm going to talk showbiz. I hate it, but I love it because I do love it. I don't love showbiz. I love the craft of movies and television and acting and directing and all that. Would you say Girls Trip kind of did another redefinition of your work? Or would you say it was way before that? What are the, because I've had like 7 poignant moments, even though people might think it's 1 or 2.
Right.
But that thing went through the roof. Was that, and you were so great in it, by the way. I mean, you're, you know, supreme leading lady.
That was one of those, that was a movie. We had so much fun. You know, it was the same, it's not the same, but it was the same with Scary Movie. So when you make a movie and no one, this is not a, you'll know what I'm saying and you'll help me figure out a better way to say it, but no one has any expectations of it.
Right.
Like, big expectations. So you kind of are doing more of what you want, and there's not a lot of maybe as much studio input because they're making it for a budget and they're going to get their return if they get their you know, whatever, what do you call it? Their targeted audience. And that's kind of the plan when they go into making it. Then they go and go, wait a minute, this could be something else. And so it didn't have any expectation, except we were just like, at that time, we were just like, we at least want to make sure we sound how women sound when we talk a lot. Like for us, it was just that it was, that it felt real, because I always felt like they always showed up. Great. But and like I laughed insanely at that movie because of the dynamics of friendship that they've went, you know, made fun of. And it was huge. And so for us, we're like, okay, well, all right, we're four women who happen to be Black, but parts of being a woman that are completely universal. Like, take a story. It's a Jewish family. And all the nuances of being Jewish are completely there, which make it funny, but the story makes it relatable. So we wanted to be like, we wanted women to be like, I act like that with my girlfriends. I talk like that with my girlfriends. And that was
the only thing different. I had Tiffany on the podcast. The only thing different would be most women can't go, oh, I can relate to being on a trapeze and peeing all over everyone below me.
They just want to. Those are the things who... There's just been things you've done and things you want to do. And you're like, that looks like fun.
it's on the hit list.
Have had a girlfriend pee on herself. You know what I mean? Like, she's drunk. But it was kind of like to take it there and go to the next level. And then I would imagine Tiffany said the same thing. But then we just had fun. It was really more about the making of it. That was just, we just had fun making the movie.
And the weigh-ins with Scary, I mean, I've been friends with them since they were babies. Yeah. And I mean, I was Damon, and I mean, I've been close with him since we started. He tried to get a pilot for me made. We wrote a pilot together with Don Rio for ABC because he just loved me. And Keenan, I started with him. So it's like all that must have been just hilarious the whole time.
That was great. And that was like my first comedy. And so like, for me, just the fact that I was working, you know, with the Wayans and Keenan directing me, that for me was already like gigantic. And I think the budget was like 19, and we went to Vancouver to shoot. It wasn't supposed to be a summer movie, I don't know when it came out. Maybe it didn't even come out, but it wasn't supposed to.
I happen to have your IMDb, so I can help you on this. Wow, you've done too much work. I mean, it's not too much. It's amazing. You know, I fell in love with you in Barbershop, The Next Cut. I love that movie.
Oh, that's sweet. With the green hair?
Yep. That is exactly correct. Scary movie. You were Brenda in the year 2000.
2000. And
Scary Movie 2, 2001, and 3, 2003.
I just don't know if we came out in the summer or April. I remember the release date changed, and it's an R-rated movie. So it at that time it was the biggest R-rated opening, but those weren't the expectations. I was actually, there were no sequels planned. And I remember I died and kept coming back, but because there wasn't planned, you know, we're like, we just bring you back. it was so much fun to make. I had so much fun, and everyone had some, you know, that's when a movie I feel like is best, when you're just doing it for fun.
I did one a couple years ago, and I directed it, and I was one of the stars of it, and I had such a great cast, Rob Corddry and Kevin Pollak and Mary Lynn Rice Cub and a lot of really good people, Dave Foley and Sherry O'Terry, but I only had 15 days. And when you're starring in something and you're directing it, you can't have the fun you want to. I just wanted to play with everybody. And that's the next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to double the days. That's how long the shoot was Scary Movie at that crazy time.
Probably 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, breaking that down into days, including weekends. So probably 30 days, actual shooting days.
Now you got a bunch in pre-production. You're ready to go to work as soon as they allow you to go to work. You got a lot of work to go back to. First thing, Black Monday is just a great show. If anybody hasn't seen it, they got to go to Showtime. And do you have more to do of that coming up right now?
Well, our writer's room isn't open yet. I mean, everything's been a little bit delayed with COVID. Our season was halted in the middle because we launched and they were in the middle of editing. And at that point, when we shut down, they were like, we only have, half the season edited. They did during that time. I will say people are incredibly resourceful, figure out a way to edit and ADR the rest of those episodes. And then we just started re-airing 2 weeks ago. And so it kind of shifted everything, because normally we would be going back in the end of September.
It's really cool. If people haven't seen it, it's 1987 is when it's set. And your character is so, you get to wear some cool shit. It's like so much fun. And you work with Don Cheadle, who's, oh my God.
He is really the best. Like, he is just on every level, so good, so smart, so kind, and like generous as an actor. But like, I always say, like, when I work with him, I feel like I'm in class, because he's so, I watch him and learn. He's so wonderful.
And then it's Tijuana Jackson, Purpose Over Prison.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about it? It's in post right now.
Yeah, actually, it's coming out the end of the month.
Great.
And the trailer's out, and he wrote it based on this character that he did. Tijuana Jackson, who is just getting out of prison, and he is coming out to become a motivational speaker. And these two kids have to do like a student film, which was supposed to be 10 minutes, which he's like turned into a life story. So you kind of get to see his post-prison life. And I play his parole officer, who could care less about his movie. He's got like a certain amount of time to get a job. So it's kind of like Tijuana, who is quite institutionalized with some of his terms and like his way of thinking, but it's really a positive story, actually.
Good. And then breaking news in Yuba County.
Yeah, that's a movie that Tate Taylor directed, and Allison Janney is the lead, and we had a great cast. Wanda Sykes is in it, and Mila Kunis and Ellen Burstyn, and like just a really good, like crazy, crazy cast. And I don't know when it's out, but I know that they're in post, and we had fun. We shot it in Mississippi.
Oh, how was that?
At first I was like, I have no desire. Sorry, Mississippians. But then we went to Natchez, and then I got there and I had a great time. It was quite peaceful, and where I was, I certainly don't know about all of Mississippi. Very happy with their new flag, I'll say that. But but our cast was great. Our crew was great. Kate lives there. Like, he made the best food. It was really like being at one big, long, inappropriate but completely appropriate slumber party. You know what I mean? Nothing. We're in a whole different time, so I don't want to say inappropriate and have people think anything wrong. Meaning, like,
right, showbiz people on their international waters.
Right. Exactly. It's meaning like we'd go home and have big dinners and food and eat and fun. Like lots of, it was festive as opposed to the idea of like, just work. Like it was such a blend, because we all were in the same core area.
So that is going to be out soonish, right?
COVID affected I don't know with COVID if their whole, it's so different, because it just, everything kind of shifted its plan for release too. You know what I mean? So many theaters aren't really back in that way. So it's like, should we stream it? Do we partner? And I think it's just everybody trying to figure out what to do right now with content.
It's crazy. I mean, and it's getting more detained as we speak, because people can't be insured. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm about to go do the Joe Rogan podcast, and you get a COVID test, the blood test. If that doesn't work, they put the thing up your nose. And That's for a podcast. And there's also television stuff coming up. It's very risky, so they got to be very careful.
You know, for us, like if one person gets COVID, you've got to shut down for at least 2 weeks. And of course, for film and television, a day lost. Like insurance companies are like, no way. And so I know that it's a hard thing that they're trying to figure out. But I think it's also harder with the numbers. You know, our numbers growing here in LA make it probably a little riskier for insurance companies to say, oh yeah, we're gonna, you know, it's like, I think they're like, we'll insure for everything but COVID. We're like, that doesn't.
Right. So. And then you see the finished film and you go, well, there's no love scene. Oh, I know when that was shot. And then it says Master is a movie that is starting. Now, what is that?
So Master is about, it's really good. It's a director. She wrote it and is directing it, Mariama Diallo, and she's incredibly talented. And it's on Amazon Prime. And it's kind of like this. We already started shooting it and we got shut down because of COVID, because it's shooting in New York. So we will finish it once we can go back to filming. But it was about a school that's in Boston, you know, we're using it for Boston. And it's about a school like a Harvard, but it's a fictitious school that gets its first Black master, which is me. And so it's kind of a horror. It's what happens to all these events with it that you kind of don't expect. And really smart, really, really, really well written. And so hopefully, you know. Oh my gosh, you want to know what's crazy? This is my producer. Watch this. Andy.
This is how things happen.
I'm doing a podcast and I with Bob Saget, and I literally just was talking about Master. So I answered because I said, this is my producer. So I am calling you back. Yes, I'll call you as soon as it's done. Okay, bye. Thank you. So we had great producers.
So that's synchronicity. I love when it works out and it's not.
Synchronicity. Literally, she just, you know, her, not to put her business out, but her uncle had passed. So, you know, just checking on each other. And one of our great producers on that is he battled COVID and was sick and in a coma, and he ate for like 2 months. And let me tell you something. Went to rehab. He is out. He is doing well.
Is his taste back?
I don't know. You know, I don't know that his taste necessarily left, because he was in a coma for he was on a respirator and in a coma. So I don't know.
That's about as serious as it gets. Well, the joke for me, the poor gallows humor would be, well, we know he has good taste if he hired you to be in the star of the movie. It's a serious movie, right?
It is. Yes, it's a serious movie, and it tackles a lot of themes. But it doesn't have a message. It's not messagey. It's just, right. You know what I mean? It's just kind of what happens. And our producers are great on it, and so smart, and he is doing great.
That's the blessing that I cut off. I'm sorry about that. I'm so happy.
Because I love him so much, and I was so happy, and because he's such a, you know, we talk about decency and good human beings, like he really is one. So it's I'm happy. But
What's his name? Josh. Well, I wish Josh lots of health and continued safety. And then by the time you'll be going back and we'll all be able to go back, it'll be vaccine time, I would think, where they hopefully are working quick enough. And then hopefully, if Oxford comes up with it, the U.S. is willing to take theirs ahead of their pharmaceutical company that they own, if it's had better test trials. And disproportionately, not unlike scleroderma, it affects more people of African descent, percentage-wise. It is, scleroderma is the same way. And they're lung diseases. It's...
I think now they said COVID is actually vascular and attacks the blood vessels, and for many people that
same with scleroderma. That's what they've said. It's vascular as well as autoimmune. It's just I want to talk about how Well, actually, we'll take one more break because, you know, what the hell?
Your breaks are too long for me because then I go and...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll make this one shorter. Here comes a short break. All right. That break was much shorter.
It was better.
Better. So how are you doing in general? Are you cagey? Are you going out? Have you gone to any restaurants or anything? My wife and I went to one restaurant, and then that's enough for us. It was just didn't feel right. We were outdoors. We wanted to support the business, you know?
I have to say I have not been to any restaurants yet. I do try to do something, you know, with the local businesses, and I do a curbside pickup.
Same. It's like a drug deal, isn't it? It's like you got the stuff, I got the money.
Yeah, it's a big old cash and then you're gone. Drop off. But I think I just, you know, more than any one specific thing, Bob, really, it's more the feeling, isn't it? It's like I'm hopeful, but it's like there is so much I feel like sadness and that is hard to know that that's what's going on. And it doesn't necessarily to the degree that it is, I know that it could be better. And I think that's what's, and because I don't know, not that we ever know, but it feels particularly uncertain, which makes it feel even more uncomfortable.
Because we have no control. And that's what we want. And when our government waffles and cares more about, and I understand it, getting people back to work, getting kids to school, but you can't do it if the plague is out there.
Well, and it would be great if we just had a in my opinion, nationwide shutdown for those months. And then we could literally have had our testing or trace testing, and we could be, you know, in better position like other countries whose numbers, even if they're not completely gone, like New Zealand, they're better and they're on a decline where it feels like we're not. And you know, Florida and, you know, Texas and places.
Arizona. Well, they're famous for that. And I love Florida and Texas, but then there's people that you're watching on the news or sound bites that we all get, specific sound bites where somebody's going, you're taking away my democratic freedom by making me wear a mask. And it's like, what?
I know. I think too that there's, and I understand, you know, where they may have heard that. But I think that's why it's so important that it comes from the top, because then it is just, it's not like, well, they say no. And this, you know, it's kind of like when parents are divorced, but they still say with their kids, look, don't let the child come to you after I've said no. Like we have to still parent together. So
I went through that. I went through that. God, 23 years ago, when I got divorced, I was less lenient, but she was with them more because I'd be off filming. And then I would be equally time-wise, but she was more with them every day. And she's a great mom, and she gave him a little bit more permission. Right. Sometimes, and I would say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are there six girls in your bedroom in my house and I'm up, and why are you up at 3 a.m? Let me see your eyes. And then it was not good. Because I'm saying, just in case my kids are listening, I was the one who was on things, not them.
Right.
No, that's a joke. I wasn't.
No. I was hoping that. I was like, well, I hope, because I was going to say, hopefully you were showing them. You know,
I led well when they were with me. I was not always the best, you know, I was out partying some, I was single at, you know, 40 years old, 42. So I was out and about, but, it's not the same world. I wasn't a predator. So people would have to come to me, and I didn't do anything that violated anybody. It always came out of like affection or a crush or wanting to be nice to somebody. Where do you stand on how people come to you? Because You're an important voice in film and television. So are people coming to you to be more active, or have you been very verbal on your sites on Twitter or Instagram or anything when it comes to Black Lives Matter and things that are important? Have you?
I certainly, believe Black Lives Matter.
I know. Did you see Michael Che's thing?
No.
Michael Che has a wonderful, Google it. It's on my Twitter somewhere and Instagram.
He's like, it's just matter. It was like
we're just starting with matter. You know, can't we just, so what we get is we matter.
Matter. When he was, we weren't even asking, right? When he did the civil rights, he was like, not equal, just don't put the hose on us, just civil rights. Yeah, no, it was just hilarious.
And Chris Rock, they've been running some stuff at him. It's amazing. And of course, Dave Chappelle. I mean,
it's so like I've been vocal about it. You know, I have been, I will say this, I've probably been more focused on what I can do to help with the election so that the change has an active chance. In terms of Senate races, I think that's important, and trying to see where is the way to lend the support, and when is the time. I know, I certainly don't want to sound like become preachy off, for whatever, lack of a better word, a celebrity,
It comes off disingenuous, even from the best of people. And then other times it doesn't, because certain people that are well-known, and I hate the word celebrity because it doesn't mean you're... It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means you're on a reality show.
It's very nonspecific. It can mean anything. But having, whatever platform. So I think for me, it's more important for me to be active. But I'm certainly vocal enough, I think, for people to know that, I'm incredibly supportive. But I feel like now is the time for Regina, for it to be more about action.
Right.
Just words. Cause this is a really important time.
It's crucial. And what I don't understand, even if you're the president and you want to make a statement of there's going to be no lawlessness and I'm going to be the pit bull and I'm going to stop this and we're going to keep America what it's supposed to be. And if you're a smart leader, you have to give ears to all sides and you have to hear them, especially when they're shouting this loud and it's this many millions.
Yeah. And I would imagine if I were in charge, I would never want
to. I wish you were. Why don't you just do it? Everybody would vote for you. Everybody loves you.
No, we should both do it. We should. But I would want to unite and not divide. I would want to show where we're similar more than where we're different. I'd want to show where the differences are exciting and not threatening, where the differences make us stronger and we don't have to be fearful of as a woman, obviously I want equal rights, but I still want
people on Twitter want equal bots.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing either. equal rights, but I still like, I was going to say, I still like, cause I'm looking at a box. I still like for a guy to pick up my boxes. I'm okay with, acknowledging his physical strength. And I think our differences don't make us less. They just make us complementary. So I would hope that we would have someone that would encourage us to see that, we're all unique for a reason and to celebrate that.
And this is a tough world because people are yelling from two major extremes, from people yelling in the backwoods, screaming the racism that's been handed down for generations. And then other people that have been disenfranchised for so long that they feel, it feels like for all, both of these sides, that we're never coming back to a normal that they'll be comfortable with. But it always takes two extremes, but something needs to unite everybody. Some good father or mother of the United States, because we lead an example for the world and we're not sending a good one right now.
Well, I mean, our world sin is completely, you know, that's another thing. That, I mean, you know, even what we heard about our soldiers potentially being killed by Afghan soldiers that were hired. You know, the gratitude when you look at the United States for our servicemen, you know, who many young, valiant. I don't know if you saw 1917.
I did, and I loved it beyond. It's one of the few movies before COVID that I went with my wife to the theater to see, because it's that important.
I saw the movie, and at first, not when I saw it, before I saw the movie, I was like, oh, that war. You know, because it was a war so long ago that I don't even think I knew how they fought wars. I mean, I had seen Saving Private Ryan, which is amazing, but to watch that, to watch, I mean, you know, Sam Mendes, to watch how he shot it, and to experience how young and scared and vulnerable they were, and to think, gosh, that's what our soldiers do.
They're kids. They're kids with skills.
Kids with skills. And I loved it so much. I thought it was, I'm assuming a lot of people saw it if you didn't go see it, but, watch it.
I cry sometimes after a movie because of the message of it. Because especially a movie like that, that's a roller coaster of what's going to be behind the next corner. Because we got that hour Steadicam shot that, whatever they did to blend it a few times with dissolves we don't see. But I cried. I always cry at the injustice of war, and that people die, and that people look at the other side of that, the guy with the gun and then the kid with the grenade. And then that, I always bawl like a baby after that, because the human condition, I don't know if humanity will ever get it right, but we certainly could tip the scales with some good. It does trickle down from the top on everything.
On everything, and that's I think what is. And I think of in every war how young, and so if there's anything that would make someone make the choice to join, fight for the country, and then not have our full support and protection. It's heartbreaking. You know what I mean? It's heartbreaking. So there's so many layers, you know what I mean, to things. And I certainly stay optimistic. And I'm going to believe that, you know, that things are, that this isn't, these, all these things, however they feel or make us feel, that they are not coincidences, but designed for us to give us an opportunity to evolve, to grow, or else we'll be underwater like Atlantis. I mean, something's happening. It's going one or two ways.
And I don't see that happening. I can't help but feel that as long as there's breath in my lungs and there's other people, that we have to unite and we have to heal. And we have to make change all simultaneously, because this has been horrific. And to turn a virus into a political concept, which it still is at this moment.
Yeah. And also so that people after this, like regardless of, you know, whatever party you're a part of, that people are able to work and
make money and do well. And have their health and have medical benefits.
And be able to take care of their children. And I think, you know, people and their loved ones, whether it's children or parents. I think at the end of the day, that's what all people want. No, you know, and if we could get to the basic needs of human beings, and focus on that and protect people who need it, you know what I mean? And from people who they would need protection from. And that's no matter what the race, there's racism. And then there's, you know, many gay and trans groups are having to go through, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it still goes on. Yeah. And it always has. And in some ways, maybe it won't. I mean, I remember the first time I went to England, I went, oh, they don't have the same racism here, but they have it. You know, it's just different, but I was refreshed by it years ago when I went. But I just can't see us not just understanding. It's not political. I don't care if a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't have to be, unless a whole movement. I mean, we have had a lot of Republicans all join together to do things that I don't understand why they're holding so fast.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, you know, that's when you start to feel like there's an agenda of that's bigger than just the party, where you're starting to feel like these motives are these are like, what do you call it? Covert motives that are not good for the masses. And I think whenever you see agendas like that, where it's not for the good of the people, it's good for whatever a group or whatever they want to serve, that's different. And obviously people benefit differently with different decisions, but we certainly have to at least make sure that everyone's benefiting. And at the very least, I mean, there are, you know, not suffering, not being diminished, not being dismissed, not being qualified as less than, and you know, I am like you. I don't know that we'll reach our ideal, but we certainly can get better.
We have to, and look at all the homelessness that's about to happen because people can't pay their rents, and then you see stories of some kind people that have helped out.
We already have a large issue with homelessness.
And gigantic.
Addiction. And, you know, that also has to be addressed. I mean, there's so many levels that as a nation we have to confront, and we have to confront with great compassion. And in doing that, I think everything would change for us. But I think if we don't, we can't be a nation that soars if we don't care about people.
That's the best C word, is compassion. Mm-hmm. That's I'm just glad Showtime didn't come out with a show called the C word. Or did it? I don't know. I don't think it did.
It didn't, but that's next. I'm gonna pitch it.
Excellent. And you should produce it.
Uh-huh.
Because you're kind of America's sweetheart.
Well, then it would be the P word, you know, and it would
Oh my.
Another show, because, you know, about producing.
Oh, I see. You know, I think both of those together, compassion and producing, don't always go hand in hand.
No, they don't. They
don't. No, some of those producers are in jail.
But the C word and the P word do.
B word. There's a word for everything. There's no, yeah, there is. Yeah, there's literally, I can't think of a letter that wouldn't have a word, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm trying to say.
No, I got it.
Well, I adore you. I'm so glad you talked to me.
Glad you had me on. I'm glad I got to come.
I got your email and you went, I'd love to. And I'm like, oh.
Of course.
Like, you're the sweetest person. You're just, and you're so, you deserve so many great things. I mean, you've got, now people talk about awards. People get excited about them. Some people go crazy about them. I know a lot of people that are millennials and are Gen X and whatever, and they go, oh, did this win anything? Was it nominated? They don't even care about nominations. Did it win anything? It's like, oh, the award. I said, what about the work? You know, it's, no. that's a,
Isn't that what it really is always about?
I mean, always.
Always. Always. I mean, I've seen some, we had this movie club and I've seen some of the most incredible work by many films that people would have never seen. But you look at the work and you know what the actors and the directors and put in, and you're like, that was a great fucking job. It's so, you know, it's like, it just, it, you're appreciative because you can see what went into it.
But you've won a couple things that must have meant a lot to you. You won an NAACP award, did you not?
I lost.
Oh, well, let me bring this up. You lost the NAACP award, did you not?
I did. I lost. I lost the NAACP award. But
what was that for that you lost, that you were nominated?
I think I was nominated. Well, I've lost like every time. Like I've never won. But I lost to Regina King. For Beale Street, I was nominated for Hate U Give.
Hate U Give is so good.
Yeah, that's it.
See what happened is Wikipedia lies.
They said I won.
I have it here. I mean, I had stuff done. I just wanted to talk to you, but I didn't want to be a fool, but I always end up becoming one. Oh, you won the African American Film Critics Association Award for Support the Girls.
And I won the New York Critics Choice Award.
And that was for?
Support the Girls. Yeah, which was great. Yeah, no, awards are great. You know why? It's like.
Really? It's your peers and it's people that you care about.
Yeah.
People that mean something. I mean.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's always exciting. I mean, I love that. Plus you get to get dressed up.
Yeah, that's nice. And you always dress up well.
Well, I used to. I mean, since COVID, I've been around. I'm out here just raw dogging it. I'll think of a better word.
No, that's the word. I'm in a bathing suit.
I mean no, like, you know, no makeup artist, no hair person. So,
no, but, I got nothing. I'm going to get a head reconstruction when this is over.
No, but you look nice. See?
Thank you. So do you. You look adorable.
I'm wearing my nation's capital shirt. I don't think we're going to become the 51st state yet, but you know what? I wore it anyway.
That's sweet. That's a nice thing. There will be positives that come out of this, and I so look forward to seeing you on the other side, and okay. Maybe you'll be shooting in New York, and I'll be in New York, and just be able to say hi.
I've got to finish Master, and I'll be back in New York, so when I come.
Perfect. And I'll be doing stand-up there, because I'll be allowed to be in public again.
Okay. I'm going to laugh the loudest. I'm going to come to the show.
Oh, it's perfect, and no masks will be needed.
I'm going to scream out, remember that parakeet?
I'll say yes, Elephant Woman. Well, sending you and your mom lots of love. Lots of love. Be well. And nice talking to you.
Thank you for having me, babe.
Thanks. Bye, sweetie. Well, that was Regina Hall, who is just, you got it. She's just an amazing person and a talented one. And it's not a person that gets on a soapbox like you were all. We're all tired of actors and actresses, but using platforms, unless it's really heartfelt, and then we know it's real. And she's a real person and a sweetheart. And I just love her. So that was a little conversation with Regina Hall. And you gotta see all of her stuff. You really do. You got to see all of her newest stuff. You got to watch Black Monday, which will be on Showtime when they're back. Tijuana Jackson, Purpose Over Prison, and Breaking News in Yuba County. And then when she gets to go back to work, she'll be doing Master. That's what I think is my takeaway. She's just, I don't know. I just love her. And I'm sure a lot of you do too. So thank you for listening to another episode. The next one's going to be the next one. Monday is what I believe. Let me double check. I want to make sure my schedule here so we know what's going on. Because I don't know if you know, but we're Monday, Thursdays now. We were doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But I think that was a much bit for people. It would be bit much, but that's why we took out one day. because I make sentences like that. Yes, Regina will be on. Yes, this is Thursday, and Regina will be on Monday. I'm sorry, we will have a new guest on Monday, someone that we all love. Thank you so much for listening and watching on the YouTube, youtube.com/Bob Saget, if you want to see the visuals on this. And go up to the top and subscribe or follow and rate, review, things like that. All good reviews. And I'm really honored to be doing this, and I hope you enjoyed it. So I'm here. I'm here if you need me. I'm just sitting here. In fact, I'm not even going to sign off. I'm going to stay here till the next episode. All right. Be well, everybody. Oh, damn, I lied. Be well. Thanks a lot.